Okay. I need some guinea pigs. We need some guinea pigs. Okay. Okay. We have two guinea pigs. All right, that's enough. We need. They're about, I don't know, a long time ago. I don't know. Many, many years ago, there was a Rabbi Mines in the yeshiva. I don't know if you people have heard of Rabbi Mines.
Yes.
Rabbi Mines was a big tzaddik, super, super tzaddik. And he ran a program in the yeshiva for like people that had a very weak background. And it was his own yeshiva. But it was his own yeshiva, but the yeshiva let him run it in the yeshiva. And the guys dormed in the yeshiva, and they ate the meals in the yeshiva. But it was his yeshiva, and they sat around his table, and they learned with him. So Rabbi Mainz asked me to give a shiur to these guys, and maybe also some college guys, on Chumash. So I came in, and I gave a shiur on Chumash, and the guy's like, oh, come on. You know, I don't think they're going to be rabbi. I was a young guy, they're going to be rabbi. So he's like, oh, we know Chumash. Yeah, I'm going to give a shiur on Chumash. So I said, okay, let me see if you know Chumash. I'll ask you some questions. So here, who's my guinea pig? We got. Okay. We have the story of Adam Arishan. Yeah, you know the story of Adam Arishan? Yeah, okay. The villain here is a snake, right? Do snakes talk? Have you ever seen or mentioned anywhere in Chazal? I know that in Harry Potter they have talking snakes. I know that in fairy tales they have talking animals. I know that in children's stories they have talking animals, in cartoons. But in real life or in the Chumash, is there anywhere that animals talk?
Bilam's donkey.
All right, Bilam's donkey. Okay, but that was a nace, a special nace. But what? Who? I'm talking about Adam. What's going on? What's the snake talking?
Before the Avera, he was able to talk.
Why was he able to talk? Why is there a talking snake?
Because he was the Yitzhara.
Okay, wait. All right, one sec. I don't want to talk to you. Okay. Okay. Who's my next guinea pig? Wait.
It was me. Yeah. It was mine.
Okay. I want to ask you. What is the translation of Eitz Hadas?
Tree of knowledge.
Tree of knowledge. Okay. Now, that means, why is it called the tree of knowledge?
It gives you knowledge.
Yes. So that means, I supposed to perceive that when before Adam Arishan ate from the Eitz Hadas, he was not so smart, and when he did the Aveira, now he got smarter? Is that what happened?
He knew good advice.
Wait, I got my guinea pig. Wait. Some guys actually know something. Okay.
What does that mean?
What? No idea. Okay. So some people actually know something. But that's my question number two. Okay. Question number three. Other Mauritian, was he on a lowly level or, before? Was he on a, how do you know it was on a high level?
Right.
Yitzir Kap of Shakash Baruch Hu. Right. He's always right. He was also a Navi. How do we know he was a Navi? Because Hashem spoke to him.
Also, he knew the names of animals.
He knew all the names of animals. So, why? Now, Hashem told him, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. And if you eat it, you're going to die. Right? That sounds pretty stark. What? Why did he eat it? I don't know. Okay. So I was getting this Rabbi Mash. I don't remember anymore. So I asked the guys these questions, and these guys are a little smarter than them. So the guys, they did not know. So I said, so you see, you don't know anything in Chumash, which is true. Guys, so maybe just quickly, this is not the purpose of it, but just quickly to say over the answers, some of the answers. I don't really know the answers. Rabbi Che told me, Moshe Chait, that when he was a rabbi, before he went to Israel, he was a rabbi of a shul, he gave a weekly shiur in Chumash Bereishis. I think he said for like 10 or 20 years, and he only got like one parak done, because it says there's so much tiefkeit here. Basically, Adam Arishan and Kodem Achait was on such a high level, someone said this, that he did not have a Yetzirah. Now, if he doesn't have a Yetzahara, then there's no Bechira Chavshitz. Then there's no point to being alive. So what did Hashem have to do? He had to create an external Yetzer Hara. So he had a Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara means there was someone else who was enticing him. That was a Nachash. A Nachash was really a Malach. It was not a snake. I had said snake. I don't know. The Nachash was a Malach.
You have to have a Yetzer Hara to be enticed by something.
No. No, that's the thing. You can be enticed. So, okay, that much you can have. So, wait 1 second. I don't know. It's a good question. So the snake was either the snake is symbolic, is symbolism. And it doesn't mean a snake altogether. It just means the Yetzer Hara. The way they quote from the Zohar, which I don't know, is that there was the Yetzer Hara, the Malach of the Yetzer Hara, was riding on the snake. Snake had eggs, so because he was helping the Yetzer Hara, he was his horse. So he was doing, I don't know, it's the chira or not, but because he was helping the Malach of the Yetzer Hara, and so he got punished also. That seems to be the Zohar learning. But he wasn't the snake it was talking, it was a Malach that was the, was it Samavel? What's it called? The Yetzer Hara, I forgot, I don't know. There's some names that they use for the Yetzer Hara. That was doing the talking. Okay, so the snake was not, it wasn't a talking animal. It's not like a fairy tale, you know, with the talking animals. You know, no such thing as talking animals. It's not, you know, there was a Mr., the external Yetzer Amauch, who was an external Yetzer Hara, who was talking to Chavin. Now we have the Eitz Hadas. So someone said it. I don't know who was so smart. You said that? Who said the Eitz Hadas Tovira? Yeah, that's something. How did you know that? It doesn't say it anywhere in the Torah. It's not called Eitz Hadas. That's an Amaratzistic thing, even though the whole world always says that. It's called Eitz Hadas Tovira, which means that it's not a tree of wisdom. It's a tree of good and bad, which means to say like this. I gave a very good example. There was when I was in yeshiva, it's a true story, there was a guy, you know, it was a very crowded Beis Medrash. Queens was a very crowded Beis Medrash. And there was a guy, everyone, you know, when the pilpul shiur was over, everyone would get up, and shmooze was everyone to get up, you know, in general, and crowded. And there was one guy who always stepped on my toes. Now, I don't know why most people don't step on toes, because I guess they look where they were stepping. And this guy did not know that you're supposed to look before you step down, so he always stepped on toes. So I used to watch out for him. You know, when I get up, I would say, don't get near this guy, because he's going to step on your toes, right? But okay, sometimes I wasn't careful enough, I didn't see him, and I got my toes stepped on. Now, I read later in an article in a newspaper that there was a guy, some non-Jewish guy, who went to a dance, and someone stepped on his toes, and he came back with his machine gun, and he killed the guy. Now, I never, in all the years that I was thinking how to avoid this guy stepping on my toes, it never dawned on me this simple solution. Take the machine gun, and you kill the guy. Now, this black guy, whatever it was, so he was smarter than me. Right? He had a solution that I didn't have. It's not that I said, no, it's not a good solution. I never even thought of it. So why did I never even think of it, and he thought of it? Is it because he's smarter than me? Right? It's because there's certain thoughts that you don't even think of, because they're so crazy, right? So when someone invites me to their house, and the guy walks away for a second, ooh, fancy silverware. I don't even think of it, right? Well, the other guy, who's a robber, that's the first thing he thinks of when he walks into the house. And even if he doesn't want to steal, he has to control himself. So Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra means that the options of good and bad, beforehand he only had the Eitz Hadas Tov. He was only Das Tov. In other words, other Marishan would only think of the good options. He didn't think that there were two options, because just like I never dawned on me to take a machine gun and shoot the guy, these options don't even enter in your head. So there's no Nisayan to steal someone's silverware, because I don't think about the two choices. When he ate the Eitz Hadas, what happened was the external, we no longer have the external Yetzer Hara because a person is what he eats to some extent. So the Yetzer Das, because he ate the Yetzer Das, really Yetzer Das made is the Yetzer Hara.
And that's why he needs something to put it into his head, because he couldn't figure it out himself?
Yeah, so the Yetzer Hara, before he ate from the Yetzer Das, he had no internal Yetzer Hara. So he needed the Nachash, who was an external Yetzer Hara, to make the suggestion. Once he ate from the Yetzer Das, he doesn't need the Satan to make the suggestion. What? Okay, well that because that's how he started with Adam, and then Achav, and then Chava spoke to Adam. No, what's on that?
What?
Nobody had an Everyone had an external Yetzer Hara. The Nachash was Chava's external Yetzer Hara. Chava was Adam Arishan's external Yetzer Hara. And they, once they ate it, then you get an internal Yetzer Hara, which we don't need as much, so we don't have to have that Nachash walking around on the, you know, as much. There is still an external Yetzer Hara, but not as much. What? He did not have, he had this shyness when the external Yetzer Hara started up with him. Right. The reason why, to answer question number three, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never told Adam HaRishon that it's usher to eat from the Eitz HaDas, if you read the Pesukim. Maybe it did, but it said that if you eat from it, where is this? Because he said, he gave him a reason. He says, don't eat because most Tammuz. So the way the Mepharshim learned, that he wasn't telling him, I'm asking you to eat. He was advising him, don't eat it because it will have this bad effect. And the what the Mepharshim say is that Adam HaRishon felt, because he was a shtickle, what you might be called about gaiva, that if I have an internal Yetzer Hara, then I'll get more scar because I'll have a bigger Nisayan, and when I pass the Nisayan, it'll be great. So he felt he didn't take Hashem's advice, so to speak, and he decided that it'll be good for me to have an internal Yetzer Hara. I'll get more scar. And the chait was that he didn't listen to Hashem's advice. And according to the Medrash, the Medrash says, Beferish, those who know Medrash, that the Malachim asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu what was the chait. The Malachim did not know, could not understand what the chait was. That's the Medrash says. Yeah,
why
the Medrash says,
why is he punished?
There is such a thing that if you, you know, but maybe that sometimes when you're confident that you could pass, you are allowed to sometimes put yourself in a Malachim Nisayin.
Why was he punished?
What? But where's he? What? No, not necessarily. Gaiva is a certain overconfidence. Overconfidence is, you know, he was conscious it was a mistake. He made a mistake.
He was supposed to
take Hashem's advice, and he made a mistake in judgment.
How do you know that?
Because he was Adam HaRishon, was very smart. That's what Hashem told him. Hashem told him, this is that's what most of Muslim means, that you get this Yetzer Hara. Okay, anyway, I'm not really, I don't want to get up too much. Okay, there we go. So the Maisa, what I was just trying to show is that we don't know anything in Chumash. What does this have to do with anything? Is Rav Simcha Zisso, I'm not sure if he uses this example, but this is, I don't remember if he uses it. Makes a very important point. His point is that there's a tremendous danger in the world. He says people learn things when they're young, like Bible stories, right? Little kids have their little medrash says, and they know that everyone knows that the teva is a boat with a giraffe sticking his head out, right? And Adam HaRishon is walking around naked, and there's a snake with a talking snake and an apple, and you know, whatever it is. And what happens is, and this is where Simcha Zisso makes his point, is that it's a terrible thing. When you learn things when you're young, then you get these childish, babyish pictures in your head, and then you go through your whole life, and you never stop to, and most guys read Chumash Bereishis every year, and they don't stop and ask these obvious questions. Hey, this makes no sense. There's no such thing as a talking snake. No, but people go ahead, and they go through their whole life, And they just, well, that's when I was taught, when I was in nursery and kindergarten. It was such a nice Bible story, and it just sounded so much like the cartoons, and it was so nice. And you walk away with that perception the rest of your life. And here, in reality, there's tremendous tiefkeit. The Bali Musar spend pages and pages, because if this is the Nachash, is the Yetzer Hara, then you can learn out from here all the tricks of the Yetzer Hara, the Medayik, and all the things that the Nachash told Chava, how the Yetzer Hara tries to get us, and you know.
He used all of them? He used all of them?
Yeah, because the Maisa, but I want to get to this point. So Rasim Chazizel says that really, in a certain sense, it's much healthier to start being, you know, since guys should not go to yeshiva, start yeshiva when you're 20 or 18, 15. I had this, it was this famous story, which is famous because that there was, Torah Misora had a convention in Florida about when I first came down, and for Shabbos, for whatever reason, they invited me to come. Okay. Now, so I'm sitting at this table, people, I don't know who I'm sitting next to. I guess they look like Kashra people. And somebody comes over to me, someone who lives in Chafetz Chaim, while I'm sitting there, and says, what do you think about teaching kids, young grades, what the words of davening mean? First grade, second grade, third grade. I asked me a question. No, I'm not bashful. So I said, I think it's a terrible idea. He says, because the kids aren't going to have kavana anyway. So if they learn what that means, then they're not having kavana in first, second, third grade. And then when they get older, they're not going to have kavana either. This way, in first grade, they just daven and rope. Then when they get older, it's a whole new davening because they find out what the words mean. And maybe now they'll start having kavana. It's like something new. But if they already knew what the words meant in first grade, and they get into the habit of not having kavana, right? Because everybody, you look at me, I'm Baal Tshuvas daven so much better than non-Baal Tshuvas, right? They do. So that's why I said, oh. Anyway, the guy sitting next to me gets white in the face. Apparently, the main topic of this convention was how to teach kids to daven kavana, and they brought down the world expert to explain to him. He was sitting next to me. And he just gave a whole delivery the day before how you can teach kids in young grades the parish at Fidus. And I was saying, I thought it was a stupid idea. Anyway, so I was a little embarrassed. I don't know, I was like, you know, when I really found out what happened, I was one of those embarrassed. Not anymore. But okay, anyway, but the Maisa, that's what the sympathy is still saying. That in many things, or sympathy, so yeah, the author account, that in many ways it's bad to start being, to learning when you're young. Because then, he said, Rav Simcha Zizl says that he would not let, it's a known thing that in Kelm, they would not let people into Kelm. In order to get into Kelm, you had to be on a certain level. If he's this time walked in, you went to Kelm, you couldn't go into the base medish. You weren't allowed in. You weren't allowed to be at. I'm curious, I want to hear a shmooze. No. And I can't come in. Even Rav Yeruchim, I think, had to wait like a year outside, you know, till they let him in. You know. Anyway, I think so. But the Maisa, so, because it's as simple as that, it's unhealthy. We teach kids in elementary school. We should close the elementary school. So what's the answer? Because that's even less healthy not to teach them when they're young. Because if you don't teach them when they're young, there's no guarantee they're going to start learning when they're old. So Rav Simcha Zizel puts down here, therefore, the famous Musar axiom. What's the famous Musar axiom? That there is nothing in this world that is perfect. Whatever you do is bad. That's it. Whatever you do is bad. Whatever you do has a bad effect. There's nothing, there's no system. The guy learns in Chafetz Chaim Yeshiva. The great yeshiva. No, there are some terrible things in Chafetz Chaim Yeshiva. And they make problems. You learn in a different yeshiva, they make other problems. So any system you use, the good, the very good, causes bad. Teaching kids when they're young causes bad because then they're going to have preconceived notions and they're not going to understand it later. Not teaching people when they're young is bad because then they might not learn later. So what should you do? Whatever you do is bad. So you have to pick, hopefully you pick the least of the two evils, and then you have to compensate for the bad. This is what Simchas Yisrael says. The Gemara, he brings, the Gemara says that you can't have a rose without thorns. Right? I say it, this is not a simile, and I say it, that no, that any food that tastes good, you know, is not healthy. Right? That's my own pity. But it's the same idea. He says, basically, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, he says, that's what Simchas Yisrael, that there's nothing in this world that's kudos type. That's what he says. And every good thing has a negative. So, it's a very important rule. Why is it so important? For many, many reasons. First of all, it means if, let's say, you're doing something, so you have to realize that whatever you do has negatives. You're in a yeshiva. It's like I said, you have to realize that, yes, if you want to come to Chofetz Chaim, there are big negatives, and you have to compensate for the negatives. You have to find out what the negatives are and compensate for them. If you go to a different yeshiva, that has other negatives. Every system has negatives. If you learn too much Bikiyas, your negatives are you're lacking an Ian. If you learn too much Ian, you're lacking a Bikiyas, right? You know, there's negatives. If you marry someone, right? Now, should you marry someone who is lively, or should you marry someone who's quiet? Which one's better? Well, it depends. Lively is a very good, happy home, but you want to try and sit down and learn. talking to you all day. You want a nice, quiet, homely girl. It's a little boring. So which one's better? I don't know which one's better, but the pshat is, there's no such thing. There are people that they want perfection. And then they don't get perfection, they get very upset. So Rav Simcha Zizel says, if you're looking for perfection, you'll never find perfection. There's nothing, he says, there's nothing in this world that's perfect. Dovin Harris told me this when I first started teaching. That was a long time ago. That he told me that when we were in the Bokrim, Bokrim in the yeshiva, in the yeshiva's blatcher, so we were, there are certain things that we did not like about the blatcher. And we thought, when we become Rabbeim, we're going to do it better. He says, and now we try and do it better, and we realize that those things, when you change those things, then you get a different problem. you change something, you fix this. There's a reason why that's there, Then you fixed it. So you fixed the problem that was bothering you about that it was so terrible. But there was a reason why the Shiva did that. Because, whatever he was example he was giving. So you fix that, then a different problem came about. So, you fix one problem, you get a different problem. Enemah, you have to figure out which problem is greater. So you try and minimize the problem, and then you solve it. So the Das Torah is that there's two problems. If you teach people when they're young, they're going to walk around with misconceptions in Torah. That Rav Simcha Zizel says this problem. I'm not making this one up. This one he says. That teaching people when they're young is a very big problem, that they will never understand Chumash property, Pashas. Teaching people when they're old is a major problem that they might not learn. Teaching people to daven when they're young, they might never have Kavana. Keeping teachers to daven when they're old, they might never come to Minyan. So what do we do? So the Das Torah is apparently we do when you're young, because that's considered the less of the two evils. And then we have to compensate for the problem. So the Musar Hashkafa, there's two very important Musar Hashkafas. One is Hashkafa is to realize that no matter what you do, in every situation, there's always going to be some negative. And therefore, you have to work to solve the negative. It's not just to assume. A guy goes to this yeshiva, say, listen, the yeshiva is such a big Torah, must be a great yeshiva, so there's no problem with the yeshiva. No. The yeshiva would admit, and Rabbi Shai Cohn, I remember him once saying, that I could sit, I mean, this is a Kamala quote from him, I could sit from today and tomorrow and tell you all the problems with Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva. But it's still the best yeshiva. Typical Shai Koma. Right? Maybe, I don't know. But in other words, so you have to realize that just because something is good doesn't mean it doesn't have problems. So you have to work on solving the problems. And the second thing is the converse. Just because something has problems doesn't mean it's not good. Many, many people, they discover problems and they drop it, right? I go, I have had a job. I have this good job, and you know, now there are problems in this job, right? I don't like. What?
Meetings.
Okay, yeah, I don't like meetings. That's true, right? I don't like meetings. I can mention I have other things I don't like, but we won't mention it. Right? Okay, but so okay, I got to find a new job. But you go with that attitude, or I don't like my, I go with a girl and she's too quiet. I don't like it. She's too quiet. Okay, maybe she's quiet, but maybe that's a minor, right? You know, the girl is too poor, right? You know, they say a story that I forgot who was it. Someone told the Chofetz Chaim, the shidduch, and he came to Chofetz Chaim, you know, asking who was the shidduch, and he said, "Hey, the girl is so poor," and started describing how poor she is. He said, "Oh, did you notice any other minors?" You know, because that could also be a minor. So very often, it's an important hashkafa that usually minors are chesreinus and chesreinus are minors. They come together. They're inseparable. And it's the world is, my father used to say it, he used to quote it from the Zohar, and I think it's in Bereishis, but I'm not a bucky in Zohar, that there's it's not, the world is not, it's not, you know, it's not black and white. It's different levels of, you know, different stages. Or it's toy vera, and not, I forgot the other expression, you know, I forgot the Zohar's lashon. But in other words, there's no absolute good. A person, let's say, if I give you an example, let's say a guy he's not the fastest guy in the yeshiva. Yeah, I'm so upset. There could be many minors in that. There could be minors. People that are very smart have a hard time in yeshiva. Now, vice versa. Person that you know, because it could be very good also. So there are minors and chesreinus, right? No, I'm not being, you know, can't be like I'm crazy. Rabbi Trapper did not like, if you told someone that a guy's an Eloi, he would not want to accept him in the yeshiva. He says, Eloyim never, don't work out usually in yeshiva. First of all, because Eloyim very often have weird, strange quirks in their personalities, which makes them very difficult to work with. Whether it's Gaiva or other quirks. But also because Yeshiva used to say that Eluyim don't know how to work. Because most people learn how to work because they had to work when they were young. And therefore they learned it. But Eluyim never learned how to work. And therefore they went through first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, etc. without ever working. But at some point in their life, they're going to come to a point that they can't go further without working. And when they get to that point, when they're 20 years old and they're in the middle of some difficult shiur and they can't get shot without working, but they never worked, they don't know what that means, he says they can't do it. It's a hard thing to learn a new skill at 20 when most people learn that skill when they're three or four. So he said, for sure, you said that Eluyim very often fizzle out because they get to a point where, and they don't know how to work. Okay, it just means to say that people, instead of getting upset, it's a very good attitude in life that every problem has a mida. Every mida has a problem. You can't go ahead and, now obviously there's sometimes when you say one, if I had a choice, better, we decide, better teach when you're young, but teach when you're older. Start learning when you're older. But the Maisa, let's say I never had a chance to learn when I'm young. And I came into yeshiva after high school. So instead of being upset, you have to hear that on some basis, I have a big advantage over everybody else. And if I compensate for my chisarin, I can be better than everybody else. It happens to be true that it's been record that I have seen that guys who came to yeshiva from public school and never learned the word in high school, many of them become the best guys in yeshiva. Not all. Many of them don't make it. But many of them that made it became the best guys. Makes a lot of sense. It really does. Because guys who went to yeshiva high school and elementary school, they ruined their brains. Doing nothing. Be careful what I say. But, you know, they're much more motivated. They're much more driven. They're more focused. They're more, just like they die with more kavana. When they sit and share, they're focused and their brains are more focused. So, whatever. So there's a person who has a maida, a chisarin. What I'm saying is when you have when life gives you a chisarin, you can't get depressed about it. Because sometimes that chisarin could be your, you know, your ticket to greatness. Because every chisarin is a maida, if used properly, that means that you have the potential of a maida that other people don't have. And I once read in some magazine, and it was in some office, I don't remember, it's, you know, back many, many years ago, that there was some world famous tennis player, that the reason why he was better than anyone else, because he had some handicap, so he couldn't hold the racket like everybody normally holds it, so he held it some funny way, and therefore his ball had some curve that no one else had, and therefore no one could hit it back, because no one was used to his, I don't know. But, right, so it means basically, there's his handicap made him the best, the world champion. So there is such a crazy thing that person, it's an important hashkava not to get upset when you have a problem. Every problem usually has a gold lining to it, and vice versa. Every gold lining has a problem to it. Now, doesn't mean that there aren't, you know, if you had a choice, it might be a bigger choice. But it means that when things, first of all, not to just take life, everything's good. You have to realize, those are the two nafkaminas. Even if you do, everything is good, you have to realize there's probably problems that need to be worked on. And the second nafkamina is that when things are bad, instead of getting depressed, you have to view it as it could be a bracha in disguise. Because if you compensate for the problem, the bad usually is also a bracha. That's what Simchas Yisrael says, that it's everything comes, they work together. Okay, I'm finished.
Wait, but if you compensate for the problem, or compensate, you don't create a different problem, therefore you're back to square one?
Maybe, but that's not necessarily. But you have, in this example, you never learned in high school. So now, you have to compensate for the fact that you have lack of information. So you have to spend more time using dictionaries. But in Maisa, you have the advantage that you don't have these preconceived, mistaken notions. When you learn Chumash Bereishis, right away you ask the Rebbe, hey, that doesn't make sense. What a talking snake. Who ever heard of a talking snake? That's ridiculous. Well, everyone, you know, you have a mature approach to Chumash, which everyone else doesn't have. When you daven, and this is the first time you ever davened, the words resonate with you, then you have much more kavana. So it's harder because the other guy has a habit to wake up for minyan, and you don't have a habit to wake up for minyan. So you have to train, just push yourself to get up to minyan. But on the other hand, you have an advantage that's much easier for you. If you do come to minyan, it's easier for you to daven with kavana because you don't have this bad habit of saying, you know, the words without knowing what you, without meaning, it's just gibberish. You know, I mean, it's a ridiculous thing what most people do. They just say words, they don't even know what they're saying, and they don't even know where they're up to, right? They're, you know, most people, you know, how many people, including myself today, Yad Aviyavo, did you say Yad Aviyavo? I don't know. Well, maybe you should go, but I don't know if I should down the oven. You look at it, oh, I guess I'm up to here. Yes, I guess I'm up to here. So a guy who's a Baal Tshuva, that wouldn't happen to him. But for 5 years or 10 years, not necessarily, because now he's starting to die with Kavanah, so he might never get it. We were doing that because when we were in first grade, that's what we were doing. Davening never had any meaning. It was silly. We didn't know what the words meant. Even if we knew what the words meant, we didn't care. So we got into the habit of just, in elementary school, who's the best davener? The guy, I can daven faster than you. It's kept every other word. I'm better than you. So this guy never had that bad habit. So therefore, his davening comes much better. So there are advantages and disadvantages. And those are the two things. But Simfazizel says that one is that I think he pushes the other thing, that even things are good, you should realize has negatives that you have to work on. But I like the other side of the coin, that even things are bad, instead of getting down on yourself, you should realize that they give you opportunities for greatness.
You say about David Midos?
Say about everything, yeah.
You're saying once you look for bad, meaning if you're happy in the Chavetz Chaim Yeshiva, you should look for the bad in the Chavetz Chaim Yeshiva?
Yeah. Doesn't mean you should go ahead and therefore leave. You should hear that for sure there are certain bad things in the system, and they need to be, effort has to be put in to fix it. Now, one of the concerns of the system is that you don't have, you're lacking in bikiyas. Therefore, you should fix it. One of the things that is lacking is that your brain maybe is slower, and therefore, a guy from a different yeshiva, when he listens to, like some guy for complaining, I heard out in the diner, that when they listen to a Popo share, they can't follow. So another yeshiva, maybe they're used to following Popo Shurim, and it's not that they're smarter than you, but they're used to it, so their brain moves faster.
Maybe what's
so
like
you
I
have
can do
a,
in
Chavetz Chaim has two chesronos, just off the cuff of my head, is one is that we don't, you don't have bikiyas as much as in other yeshivas, and two is your brain works slower, and therefore when you don't have time to think things out, you don't get it. So you have to compensate that by listening to a Popo Shirim every so often, and therefore training your brain to go faster, and learning things to compensate for your lack of bikiyas, by doing things that will give you bikiyas. Do mishnayos yomi, I don't know, do halacha yomi, do things. So you figure out etzes to compensate, but you have to search. You should search out the chesronos. Not because you want to say it's bad, but you want to compensate.
But didn't tell Rebbe that in cheer he wanted to fix a certain thing that he saw that was a negative?
Well, I was going to, I was going to fix it by changing the stage nature of the cheer. I said Rashiva gave cheer, didn't give cheer every other day. Well, his case was Rashiva did not give cheer every day. So I thought, that's terrible. I'm going to give cheer every day. But he said, giving cheer every day has certain negatives, and there are many advantages of not giving cheer every day.
Right. So even if you see,
I wasn't talking about compensating for the problem. He was changing the whole system, and then you get rid of the problem. But then you just create new problems.
I'm saying, but even if you compensate for a certain problem, you're still going to have a certain negative to it, no?
Not necessarily. Let's say my problem is I'm in Chavetz Chaim, and therefore my brain doesn't work fast, and therefore I can't find. So I'll spend a special 15 minutes a day training myself to my brain work fast, and then I'll learn how to work, think fast.
Isn't there eventually a time you get that there's a certain position you get where you've compensated enough and you've reached the optimal point. There's nothing else you can do. If you try compensating more, the concern is
going to
outweigh any compensation that you do.
All right, I don't think so. But okay. Listen, I'm overtime. I'm overtime. I'm getting paid. I'm time and a half. You can't afford me. Okay. I get a high salary. What? Guys, should I miss the Yomi? I didn't say that.
It takes two seconds.
You should learn Mishnah Yomi, except that there's, you should also, I tell the same story, when Rashi was to come to Israel, and the guys would ask Rashi what you should do. And it's happened every year. It was the funniest thing. Every year, I knew it in advance. It would have me with the guys, an open question. And someone would ask Rashiva, what should we learn besides regular siddharim? And Rashiva would give the same speech every year. You have to learn, you have to chazer last year's mesechta, and you have to chazer this year's mesechta, and you should do the rush, and points of resistance, and you should learn two musar seders, because one for cheshbon and nefesh, and one for hisayrus, and one for chokhmas hamusar, and you should learn a shef shemaitza, and you would have all the guys writing down. And then finally, one guy would pop up and say, but Rabbi, there's no time in the day for all these extra svarim. He said, yeah, it's a problem. So that's the answer. You should definitely learn Mishnah's Yomi. Now, every day, except you also do have to go to sleep. When do you do it? I don't know. That's the question. So there's no, what I'm trying to say, I'm not, in theory you should do it. In practice, I don't know. In theory, it's a very good thing. No, I didn't say that. You should do Mishnah Yomi, you should do Chazara, you should do Shev Shemaitza, you should do last year's Mesechta, you should do two Musar Seders, and you should do...
No, but practice.
That, I tell you, as much as Rashiva said, that you should do all these things, and I heard from Rav Shulman, you should learn Mikisa Shulchan Aruch every day, because he says guys don't know any... Guys don't know any halacha, and it's a big problem. No, he didn't say Daf Yomi. Rashiva was not a big fan of Daf Yomi. Rashiva held Yisrael Mishnayis more than Daf Yomi. I think. I know, someone's going to disagree with me. But Rashiva, he tied it to the Chofetz Chaim says that Daf Yomi does not have, not all Torah is in Daf Yomi. Because there's no Mishnah and there's no Gemaras and certain Mesechtas. But all Torah is in Mishnayis. Because Rebbe, every Mishnah includes all Torah. So if you want to learn all Torah, you should learn at least first Mishnayis Yomi before Daf Yomi. You know, the Mishnayis, finishing Shisha Shirei Mishnah is a bigger mida than doing finishing Daf Yomi. Maybe you should do both, okay?
It's not a bigger mitzvah to learn Gemara. Gemara is more like... Like thought.
It's better than Mishnah Yomi. Even a Baal Vos that does Daf Yomi is better than Mishnah Yomi.
It's time, yeah, for sure. Everything. But just, you know, there's no sleeping. I don't know.
At the end of the day, what should we do?
I don't know.
I don't know.
One year you do one thing, and one year you do something else, and each person, there's a certain amount that a person has his own right to choose based on his personality. Because you can't do everything, so you have to do what your personality pulls you. There are guys who are into halacha, spend more time in halacha. Guys who are into Ian, spend more time in Ian. Guys who are into Bikia, spend more time in Ian. A little bit. No, I don't think that wasn't on the choices. Okay, Shigaya.